to Ever Beyond. Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. And welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to Ever Beyond. Hang on, let me just, I'm just adjusting the mic levels there. Yeah, so I can hear myself without burning through the speakers. And yes, welcome. And yeah, today we have a UK show. Yes, not only a UK show, but also my Deep Soul Family's show as well. I'd like to, without very much ado, introduce a very old friend, fellow student along the path, and just, I mean, if I list out all the amazing things that my guest is, it would take, well, maybe a couple of minutes. Let's do it. She started out as a fashion designer, and also as an esoteric astrologer, and combining the two has created a series of how can I put this, color frequency healing clothing apparel units, which are general purpose, and you can, you know, you can use them all sorts of ways. I can't begin to say how beautiful they are because of that very technical sounding description. Not only that, she's at some times been involved in making the most beautiful cakes you've ever seen in your life, or maybe even in many lifetimes. I can't think of too many more superlatives than stupendous and amazing Rita Hraes, Rita Scrumptious from Glastonbury. How are you, my love?
Hello, Jeremy. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's lovely.
Flies by. I don't even know how many years it is since I spoke to you last, and I'm sure we've both gone through a huge journey deepening towards the center.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, here I am. Here I am in a more studio phonic studio. And we have a lovely, lively group of very highly advanced individuals spiritually. They really know, you know, they're not kind of caught in the new age woo-woo. They're not stuck on, these are UFOs and, you know, all that stuff. We really know what's going down. We know we're aware of all the different levels of the workings of the Dark Lodge and of the workings of the White Lodge. And, I've been teaching them rays. slowly they're getting it. It's great, you know, they know what a monad is, and they, you know, they know the soul and the whole expression.
Cool.
And that. So you can speak easy, my sister, you know. It's
okay.
It's just a straight ahead. So I want to talk about the clothing first, because I know you've been there, and it's what you was, but it's something that is now expanding out from you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I do, look, I have a brand of clothing that I've developed specifically for awakening women. And it's one best ethical brand at Prêt-à-Porter in Paris. It's not a clothing range that I now sell to any mainstream shops, because in one respect, I am not in the direction of fashion. So I create my clothing for women of all shapes and sizes to really honor, embrace their lumps, their bumps, and their authentic nature.
Oh, yeah.
And encourage, inspire them to shine bright in their alignment and to basically dress in colour. So the whole collection is created from natural fabrics such as cashmere, and then also I've got a bamboo range produced in Bali. I design it all as a capsule wardrobe, so one style can be worn in several ways, and say five styles can make 20 to 30 looks, so that there's less wastage. We're not filling the landfill with plastic stuff that doesn't actually biodegrade. And I love that. That's one expression of my heart. You can see my clothing on www.colourconsciousclothing.com or on RitaHerez.com. But it is just one strand, and it's interesting because sometimes if I introduce myself with regards to my clothing, I feel like it's just an outer layer of who I really am, what I've come to do in this lifetime.
I think it's beautiful. It's one of your soul expressions. Rita, can I just alert you? I can hear that we can hear this sound.
We need to close down any Facebook things.
Yeah, no, it's the Wolf Spirit Radio chat. It has a little speaker icon that you just click in the bottom right hand corner. Look at the little loudspeaker icon. You, when you see that,
in the
chat room. You know, in the chat room.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking.
Yeah, that's the thing that's making that.
Okay, right. Listen and chat. Yeah,
there it is. That one.
Okay.
we'll catch that. It's okay. Once you've set it, it'll remember it. You tell it.
Okay.
To
so what do I click? Tell me what I click.
Down on the bottom right of the chat room. Can you see the chat room?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, there's you'll see a speaker icon.
A camera.
Your camera.
I can see a camera one and a hashtag.
Hashtag. All right, now down on the other side, button. other left, other right, on the right hand side, other and below the text box. You might see 47. Can you see 47 and a hammer?
Oh, I can see where it says.
Yeah.
Play sounds,
that's
never.
That's it. Never play the sounds. Yay! Now they can chat away without going all the time.
Okay.
Anyway.
Got it.
So, right. Okay. Now we've fixed that. Now we know that the expression of the clothing, I just wanted to, because I still think it's stunning, gorgeous. And
Thank you. There is
nothing that I like to see more. And I remember we've had this conversation years and years ago. There's nothing I like to see more than a swathe of the same color. And I remember we were talking about, and it was something as mundane as the rapeseed fields, which had this, long blanket of mustard yellow. And it was, and you know, I really get you on that. I don't know what ray that is, but it's beautiful.
To swathe yourself in the electric blue color of the sky is going to bring about a grace of tranquility, radiate that light of tranquility to both yourself and the person looking. In the same way, if you wear a very deep, rich, royal purple, you take command, you're radiating at a high frequency. Definitely that's what my collection is about. For women to understand their own etheric field and to match vibrationally how they're feeling and what they need for that day. So it's very specific on that level.
It's very interesting. A presenter of mine, he did a trip into the future using a Tibetan technique, and walked around as his higher self, as future self, 100 years hence, and they were very much more spiritual, and they were all wearing clothing that matched their aura. The color of their clothing matches the color of their aura.
Yeah, exactly. That totally makes sense.
I think that also, that's the way it used to be on the old planets where the humans come from.
I love that.
You know, or
I
heaven.
Love Makes a lot of sense.
So colour and sound and geometric form, these are things that both of us have been working with and through us and all these things. I've been working on sound, as you're obviously aware, and you've been working with the colour.
So tell
us more about the about that part of, because it,
well,
in a way it's been
this.
Yeah, yeah. Do your thing.
Okay, like you, been a student of esoteric psychology for 25 years, had a huge Kundalini wake up in 1992 to 94. Was graced with enormous levels of bliss states and the beginning at that point of really owning seeing the shadow and coming home to the center. And then 14 years ago, as you remember, because you were at the funeral, my beloved tantric partner passed over from a road traffic accident. I was a single parent with four children. My daughter Shanti was just 5 months. And very soon after that, I was introduced to the understanding about ayahuasca, a plant medicine from the Amazon. Some of you will have heard of it. And basically, because I had had all these full power, bliss states, theta consciousness as a regular norm for me. So in other words, going into visions very naturally. And because I had seen a lot of drug addiction in my life, the one thing I didn't want to ever do was to take something that was mind-altering and needing to go into working with some shamanic stimulant to take me into an expansion of consciousness, because that was my very normal life. And however, when I came into contact with people and a shamanic healer in particular that had been working already with 11 years with ayahuasca, it was very interesting for me, because I then got a telepathic transmission that the plant's purpose was to, number one, unify communities telepathically, and secondly, to actually help us to lift and clear the bloodline that we've been born through for 7 generations back, therefore opening a clear path for 7 generations forward. And that's when I actually realized, you know what? I have done a lot of work. I've been graced with a lot of physical, atomic, electric, fire, bliss states. However, to be able to work with this, I could support communities to awaken and also do some very deep healing on my own bloodline that is full of addiction, basically. And anyway, to cut a long story short and to bypass that, I went on this shamanic journey for 14 years working with ayahuasca, with San Pedro, peyote and iboga, absolutely vividly looking at where I was full of glamours, etc., really working deep with my own bloodline and seeing massive transformation. But why I'm saying this, because in that period, in this last 14 years, Jeremy, I then began to, after my cake business, decided that therapeutically that I wanted to paint my own, I started to paint. And this painting was
very...
Oh,
I forgot
big
to tell everybody what an amazing painter you are. But yeah, anyway, just keep going.
So the thing is, I got into painting, like, basically what I realized about all my paintings were that they were all teachings about the inner realms and about the science of Kundalini. All of my paintings are basically somewhere giving keys, hints, and understandings about the Nadi system and about understanding the different stages of waking up. And so why I'm saying that is because very recently, about 3 months ago, I was making this painting And a download came in, Jeremy, and that's why I'm really excited. That's why I wanted to be on your show tonight, to share this insight.
We love people sharing their insights because they really are coming thick and fast. And yeah, you know, you're saying this may spark other people to say, oh, I thought that was just a dream. And it was actually really, truly a collective vision. And I know that you've got great courage in speaking your vision. So please go ahead.
Okay, so basically I was there making this painting, which was basically, it's called Tantric Union on Sirius, and it's a very, I'll try and post you a copy of this in a minute if you want to put it up, but it's a very exquisite painting where you see two foreheads merged in space, and then you see a Buddha and a Bodhisattva, a Buddha and his consort, in a beautiful alchemical union in some other dimension. And so in that you see how Kundalini flows and all these other things. And as I'm painting this, I realized that my Dharma, my absolute highest thing, expression on this earth, and the sum total of all the work I've ever done, is to guide couples, specifically couples, into a shamanic journey with themselves to be able to unify with each other at the place of the absolute meeting. Because I have been graced in this lifetime of literally understanding that the nature of the cosmic orgasm that is going on all the time from the divine mother-father union. And when we can get to a place of absolute pure emptiness of mind, we can actually tap in telepathically to what exists. And then every single cell in our body opens to a million cells of liquid bliss, which I believe is the absolute deepest yearning of every human being, which don't actually understand their yearning, and therefore in that all sorts of level of distraction and addiction arises because they're wanting this degree of exaltation. And in that people take all sorts of drugs and shit, etc.
Yes.
Because they want this fire.
Do you know what it is? They don't know what they're missing.
Exactly.
They don't know what it is that they're missing because it's the union that we all used to feel.
Yeah.
And this is before
separation of coming into incarnation.
Yeah.
In that.
This is what I call the Lyran trauma, right? I've been talking about this on the shows. So
with that, what I'm now going towards and wanting to inspire, I don't consider myself, Jeremy, as a guru, a teacher. What I see myself very similarly to you is the student of ageless wisdom that can inspire and speak technically for people to understand what each chakra is and what the blocks. So for instance, if we were to go through the base chakra of ourselves, then we look at where do we not feel rooted? Where are we in survival? Where are we in poverty? Where do we not feel we belong, et cetera, et cetera? Because basically what I'm seeing from having come out of the Pisces era is that humanity, where we're at, is we're not at a high stage of awakening, and therefore we don't even really understand right relationship. The first basic place of alignment, of getting onto the path. And there's so much distortion, so much fucking pornography, excuse me for swearing, but we have a problem on this earth right now. I give retreats all over the world, and the amount of men and women that come to my retreats who have been sexually abused as children, we are in a crisis as a species. As far as I can see, even though there's enormous awakening, the problem is that there's also such a dark shadow where we've turned away from the violation of the children. And that's why I'm so inspired to share the understanding of what it is to be in right relationship with a lover, what it is to be able to drink the nectar of your beloved's breath, what it is to be able to meet the Creator's spirit through another and only want the best for that person. So it's very deep, and I'm offering a 7-month webinar where I come on every month for 2 hours to really speak what's not spoken between a man and a woman, to inspire them, because I know what sits in a woman's heart of what she really wants in that meeting with her beloved. And how many of us go into relationships from that place of not being healed and therefore dump and project where we're at.
Oh, Rita, you're this is so on the money, right? As to what's really going on right now is in order for us to have right relationship, we have to heal the PTSD, the Stockholm syndrome, the trauma-based mind control that we're all subject to.
Yeah.
This is the entire thing.
That's right. And so what does that mean ultimately? It means to have the awareness of the conditioned imprints of our bloodline that have gone in that aren't actually us. So therefore we have to come to a point of stillness to hear the neurosis of the chatter in our head, the one that's judging, the one that's constantly putting ourselves down, not feeling enough, comparing ourselves, judging ourselves, and judging therefore everyone else. So what happens in a relationship? The woman goes into a feeling of superiority and puts the man down. The man goes into a feeling of inadequacy and therefore numbs himself out. I know that that's not the case in your own personal case, and it's not in a lot of awakening relationships, but it is in the mundane.
Oh yeah, I hear all over, particularly with the millennial generation. You know, this seems to be almost the norm, is that the girls are all out and, you know, kicking it out and the boys are at home with their Xboxes and weed and porn.
Yeah.
I'll send you a text message tomorrow when I'm over with all this lot. No.
It's so tough, Jeremy, for a sacred relationship, and for the last 7 years, I have so deeply felt the calling of what's in the hearts of the men and the women. And the thing is, what I see is, as a mother of 4 with 3 sons, aged 33 down to 21, my sons are, my daughter's
21. 14. Shiloh is 21.
Shiloh is 21. Holy. I'm about to be
grandmother, Jeremy, in a few weeks. So really? Oh, excellent. You've finally made it to the elder grandmother. Excellent. Well, I tell you, Rita, my chat room are going wild. They just so love you, right? Lovely English lass. She is.
I'm about to go to LA, by the way. Have you got loads of clients, people in LA? Is that where you're
based? Yeah, I know a couple of people in LA. Anyway, in the chat room in LA. But there's definitely Sean.
I'm going to be giving a talk on the 24th in Topanga, 24th of October, and running 2 retreats in LA, just in case people are interested in meeting me there.
All right. That's brilliant. Let me know and give me some links, towards the time, and I'll give them to Sean, who I work with. He lives in LA. He may be able to, and he'd support you. He's a lovely man. So, this is the problem. I mean, do you remember Amber?
Listen, beautiful.
My beautiful stepdaughter. Do you know a fellow called Paolo Nettini?
Mm.
You know, do you know that they've been?
Yeah, no, I know. She's a full supermodel.
Yeah. So, he and she are together and it's it's the same. They're both 246. It's amazing. But
don't speak too much about her personal life and relationship on this show.
But you know what I'm saying is it's an archetypal model.
It is.
It's archetypal, and it's something that we haven't managed to cure in our generation. Which part of our kind of light worker program was fix this in one generation? It's good. It's
well, how
it's got
it,
a bit of a
Jeremy,
momentum. Go ahead, Rita.
Sorry to speak over, I just want to quickly say this.
Go on.
How I see it from that perspective of being a student of ageless wisdom is we are now, with the illumination of this awakening that's coming in, being able to see the degree that humanity is not in right relationship. Most of humanity have not taken that first initiation, the alignment of the sacral center to the throat, which brings a person into right relationship. In other words, once Kundalini starts to spiral from the base chakra all the way up to the crown, once there's an activation of prana, the nadi system, life force energy coming from the sacral, basically most people have shut down their true sexual energy and they judge it as dirty or misuse it in some way through flirtation.
Shameful.
And it goes all into an anti-clockwise spiral. When it starts to come up, more vitality, more inspiration, more authenticity, as we know. So the thing is, it's going to change by 2035, the more that Christ consciousness comes onto this planet, the more people are going to take this first stage of awakening, which means coming to a point of centeredness to be still enough to hear the inner voice, the one that judges and is the conditioned imprint that we've all been imbued with, that is not who we are. Once we can hear that voice and actually control through harmlessness to not be critical and sarcastic and seeing things in a negative way and stop opening our mouth to say something to put another person down, we will begin to vitalize that throat center, to spiral clockwise and be able to come into a much more pranic state. But the way that I want to work with couples is in a way to help women have the courage to ask their beloved to sit with them in a state of meditation prior to lovemaking, to be able to literally, in that Tibetan sacred way, put the forehead to the forehead and feel the magnetic, electromagnetic field with another, and to just unify both telepathically and in that gentleness of feeling another person's etheric body, and to bless and radiate and come to our own 100% inner alignment before, instead of needing the beloved to fulfill us, which is what most relationships are conditioned in.
Absolutely.
That way. We're looking
Absolutely.
For somebody else to come along and make it better, so that we then go into the child part of ourselves and we're having a very immature relationship like that.
Absolutely. It's all in the wrong order. And this is what he's talking about when he says to get things in the right order is you know which, where, first of all, that you start from a point of zero. You start from a point of, I don't need anything from you. You don't need anything from me.
Exactly.
And look how beautiful you are. And how amazingly I stand in front of this beauty and absorb it. And what it reminds me of, Rita, is the concept of Ubuntu, which is the giving.
It's South African.
Yes. Which is the spirit of goodwill, which is love in action. It is giving, before receiving. Yeah. And when everybody does that, there's just boundless abundance. Everybody's a joy, because everybody's just doing what they love doing, which is everybody loves giving things. I don't care what anybody says about being selfish, but, everybody loves to do things for other people. It's the greatest joy to massage somebody's feet on a day when they may be tired.
But I hear that. And that's because you come from a place of fulfillment, knowing your divinity and having major alignment.
Yes. And it took a while to get there.
So when we're in that place of alchemical union, that we know our divine masculine, divine feminine and our own innocence, when we've made that completion within ourselves, then we can be in that place. But most people, and this will be very apparent if we look at the state of the world, when everyone gets this place that you're in that wholeness and alignment, then there would be no more raping of the earth and the children of the earth. And basically, we're not there yet. I think I have been, for many years, because I was in that place of inner completion, somewhere in some kind of illusion, thinking that because I live in Glastonbury the last 22 years and around very awakening people that speak the same language as me, thinking that the whole world is like that, or a lot of the world. And the thing is, yes, the spirit of humanity is good, but we actually, if we really look, like I'm looking at it from a really serious place, that one in five people that come to my retreats around the world have been sexually abused as children. That's horrific to me.
As little as that?
Abused as a child. Well, that's too much to me.
I just want to open this up a bit, because I went into my own past and discovered things that appeared to be that kind of thing. And, reconnecting the inner child and making that all better. But from what I can understand, Rita, all boys who are circumcised, which is like Muslims and Christians and Jews, right, end up with an internal rage that they don't know what is the cause of. An unfocused rage. That's what I got in touch with in myself. Wow. I will kill you all. Cold rage. All right? So imagine that. You know, imagine this is how you feel about your mother who betrayed you to these people. How could you possibly love me if you gave me to these people and allowed them to do this to me? It's like taking off my eyelids.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a whole thing about it. It's not minimal. This is the thing that many people who have been through it and can't deal with it, they minimize it. So it's just the thing, you know.
That's massive, actually. I'm really going to contemplate that.
That's what I'm calling, that's like a male rape. And then I believe that almost all the girls I know have had some kind of abuse at the age of six. Somewhere around there. I mean, it's... maybe this is because these are the people that are coming to me as a healer.
Yeah, sometimes it's because of that as a healer, but that's the truth. But I don't think it's all. I don't think that. But I do think it's a lot. But the point is that esoterically, look at the good news. The good news is as more and more, like it's written in the books like Treatise of Cosmic Fire, etc., that by 2025, 2035, one third of humanity comes to the first stage of awakening, that alignment of the sacral center to the throat, and also the second stage of awakening, which is the alignment of the solar plex to the heart, which means basically liberation of going round and round and round and round and round on the emotional treadmill, to get to the point where we have developed enough compassion, love and wisdom to put ourselves into another person's shoes, to stop taking things personally, separate and then blame. Like, how different would humanity be if we could get to those first two stages? That's not the third stage of awakening, where we've actually got to what's very talked about in the spiritual new age, but not really truly understood, where the brow center is open and we've really and truly transcended duality and we really are living in the light of revelation and being able to witness the good, the true and the beautiful. Because remember that at the first stage of awakening, we glimpse the third stage. So therefore, you've got a lot of people halfway up the mountain in an astral type of place who think that they're awake and therefore project a whole load of shit.
isn't this a lovely view? Let's stay here for a few lifetimes. Yeah. I mean, this is the problem.
Yes.
As soon as you get into it, you think, oh wow, I know it all. I know everything. Oh, I'm God. But it's a little premature because you have to know, you know, the dark side and all that stuff. You have to go through the, you know, literally, we have to go through the whole reptilian war, whatever, however it manifests inside of us. We have the war that is going on inside us, the astrology going on.
The degrees of the shadow of the bloodline that we've come to uplift. That's how I see it. And our own shit within that. That's why I have to be honest, I absolutely love the plant teachers, these plant medicines such as iboga, ayahuasca, etc. If they're given by a very profound, clear facilitator to hold, that you feel safe enough to expand consciousness, bring the light of awareness, meet your own inner teacher, and therefore be able to go in and really own where we need to, where our homework lies. You know, like that's, so it's like in the age of Pisces, we look to a teacher outside of ourselves. In the age of Aquarius, we're looking within. We're looking within to the tree of life that is our nervous system. You know, when we look at it from like just on a basic chemical level, that our nervous system is the tree of life. And when we've been for years, you know, all these eons looking to the tree of knowledge outside of ourselves, and ultimately all awakening, the alchemical union, you know, the sought after chalice, whatever system of belief system one looks at.
Oh yeah. It had to happen eventually. Skype had to fail. It just absolutely had to, didn't it? Am I still online? Yeah, I'm still online. I'm just trying to see what is going on with Skype here. It may be of just the hard drive's locked up or something. Something normal like that. Oh, there we go. What's going on? There we are. Rita, are you back with me? Are we back in real time?
Oh, did we lose each other?
Yes. Yeah, you just kind of blinked out of existence for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, it's probably I spoke too deeply about something.
You went into another dimension and we had to hold you back.
Okay.
So meanwhile, where were we? We were talking about, I love this thing, right? You were talking about in the intimacy part, of the drinking in of each other.
Oh yeah, each other's breath. Our breath becomes prana.
And this thing also about, I wrote a poem years ago that I put some music to, and I got my friend to read out the same poem, a female friend, right? Her voice is pitched about the same as mine. And so I've got her in one speaker and I've got me in the other. Saying exactly this, and I edited it so that the syllables were exact. So it was like one voice with two voices.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I'll put it on in the, I'll put it in the break. I'll give you a link as well so you can hear it as well.
Yeah.
So, indeed. So yes, the union.
Well, alchemical union, it's like the phoenix rising from the fire. It's like having burnt up everything that isn't love, light and consciousness that's ever come and entered our body, to earn the merit to have the kundalini rise from the base of spine and uncoil itself, passing through each chakra, bringing more expansion, more awareness, more of the nadi system unblocked. 84,000 channels in the Tibetan way of looking at it, or 72,000.
Oh, and Skype drops like a stone. That was great. Huh. Well, let me see. This is gonna take a little while. Maybe I'll try it. I'm gonna try the other way. I have another version of Skype that runs on this computer. This other one here. I'm probably gonna have to log in. Let me put some of this on.
Hey there.
Rita.
Hi, lovely.
Hi. Oh, this is great. So I'm actually getting this to work on the same machine. This is very good. Okay. ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, welcome back. This is JP with Rita Hayes. Hooray.
Hey.
Having survived a very severe Skype crash there. I don't know what happened there. But that was very strange. So, now, where were we? We were solving the problems of the world with PTSD. Go ahead.
Where were we? I was talking about just how you were asking me about union. I talked about alchemical union and the different stages of Kundalini awakening. So what I would really love to say, I don't know how many couples are out there, how many people are feeling like they're in a relationship, they don't know whether they're both spiritually progressing at the same moment, same time, whether they match each other sexually or emotionally, mentally, spiritually. But one thing I want to say about that is that to be in a partnership is a very blessed opportunity to meet yourself with vivid honesty, to actually see where you really are within yourself. That's a huge opportunity. It's like being with a living master, because this person is going to show you where you're whole or where you're not. So my webinar that I'm starting this Wednesday is £33 per person, and it goes on for 7 months. And basically it's all about how to cultivate intimacy and deepen into a sacred union in your relationship, so that you can't be in a sacred union in a relationship unless you're in a sacred union with yourself. So what I would love to share and inspire is a very deep exploration on a shamanic journey within your own body, starting at the base chakra and going through month by month. So in Libra, we go into the base chakra, in Scorpio, into the sacral, in Sagittarius, into the solar plex, in Capricorn, we're going to go into the heart, in Aquarius, we're going to go into the throat, in Pisces, we're going to go into the brow, and then in Aries, we're going to go to the crown.
I love it, Rita. You know what I say? You know, what? I remember 20 years ago, you used to put your hand up and say, in terms of the chakras and the...
And here I am.
You've got it. You've nailed it.
I have.
You've nailed it. Well done.
And it's not...
I so love you.
It came with a thought either. It wasn't like I thought about this. It just came as an absolute download as I was painting this picture, realizing that the sum total of all my lives was to share this information too gently, because no man wants to be told how to make love to his beloved. And no woman has got the courage. Actually, I lie. The only woman I've ever met, I met in your flat, and it was that lady that was the midwife who was so amazing. Do you remember her? In your flat in East London. All
Delhi, Demelza.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what's the word?
Amazing.
A tornado of amazingness.
She was one of the rare women I've ever met that would actually say how she wanted to be touched, etc. And basically most women will never ask for what they're longing for. Most women don't even know.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Yeah. Again, it's one of these things. We don't know that we don't know that we don't know.
Yeah.
We've forgotten that we didn't know, because it's been... there's been so many years of trauma that have prevented us from looking back at that and saying, hang on a second, there's something that I'm missing here.
Yeah, exactly. 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 So,
to that
I'm
end.
I'm very inspired. I've basically, I hope you can share with your listeners this page. If anyone's interested to sign up on the webinar or listen to a talk about it, because it's very easy, isn't it, to go into aloofness, withdrawal, self-pity. The relationships show us where our wounds are and where we're avoiding ourselves. like to be in true intimacy. Are you still there, by the way?
Yes, hello? I'm muted so that I can get the best of you.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that to be in that place of true intimacy into me, I see, to be able to call forth through your lover something you really would love for yourself and know how to give yourself in some way. It's such a deep thing, relationships. Anyway, basically, this is a journey into self-love in the way to meet the beloved, to meet the creator spirit through another. That's what it is, Jeremy. JP.
That's something else, though. I mean, you don't get that in the high street often.
No.
No. In fact, you don't get cakes in the high street very often like yours. But in Glastonbury, so be it. So mote it be. That's what happens in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that kind of thing. Tell me, how is it there?
In Glastonbury?
Yes. How is it in England? In Englandshire?
Well, I will tell you, it's... When I first moved here 22 years ago, I recognised it was a very telepathic place, and I met a lot of my tribe, a soul family here over the years. But one thing that is disturbing to me, because, well, one thing that's very disturbing to me is that in the town next to me, a Catholic woman went out for a drink recently, first time after having children, and she's very Catholic, and she basically got pulled into a car and raped by three guys and got pregnant, and it's against her absolute religion or understanding to have an abortion, but had to. Didn't dare to tell her husband. We've been carrying this very deeply because obviously having a teenage daughter, it's a concern. I believe that there are crack houses in Glastonbury now. Drugs are very rife, equally as to where they're all over the place. It's a massive concern. I kind of moved here in a spiritual bubble, denial and some kind of ignorance all those years ago, thinking I was protected from the ways of inner city living. But it's just all of the toxicity of inner city living is everywhere, including here. But we are telepathic as well. And the nature of the children to be protective and caring and loving is there. You know, there's a lot of, we still have very deeply spiritual conversations in the supermarket, wherever we go. But you know that it's tainted. This town is tainted equally as everywhere else with the dilemmas that we face as being a human being. And it's vast, isn't it? With the oceans and the situation in Fukushima. But here in this town, many shamanic people and spiritual people come to genuinely pray to the earth, to the Great Mother, to the grandmothers, the grandfathers of all seven directions, to unify ourselves with one sound through our ohms, through our medicine songs, to give offerings back to Pachamama. We do all of that here, and it's just natural. It's just kind of normal here.
Yeah, it's a kind of new normal. It's, well, to a degree, it's like that here, but, where we are, it's a funny little conglomeration. It's like three universes that are colliding. One is the RAF and British Army transitory kind of hobnail boots brigade. Mm-hmm. The Scottish original natives who are kind of grumpy, just like all these. You know, and then there's the hippies, you know, the pinkhorns, who are kind of, they're a bit like one group of Glastonburyites looked at the place and thought, we're getting out of here. for cooler climes. So there are one description is there's fewer dogs on strings, up here. There are very few dogs on strings. It's really hard to live on the streets in this weather. It's like, it's a harsh atmosphere.
Oh yeah. So, in a way, that's your protection up there.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Well, in the winter it's the cold and in the summer it's the midges. No, but it's hell. Unless you've come to terms with your inner midgie.
Wow.
Yeah. Tell me about it. It's been...
What, just being bitten everywhere all the time?
You just say, I love the way the midges bite, and they don't bite you anymore.
Well, do you know one thing is if you eat loads of vitamin B6 and B12 or Brewer's yeast, they don't like biting you, do they?
No. Well, that's what they say. I don't think it's true, though? Some of the thing about midges is that if they don't bite you, they swarm. They're such a swarm. They're like a kind of solid cloud that you walk into, and the sweat on your skin sticks them to your face.
I can't even imagine that. Actually,
it's a rare delight. Let me just say, it's a rare delight. Anyway, that's the West Coast. So the thing is, the West Coast is so astoundingly beautiful and rugged and natural and untouched, and this is why.
Yeah.
It really is. Completely white. But, but back to the hippies. So there's this little group of hippies here, who grow big vegetables and, listen to the voice in the skull. Who's that? What's that book? A Course in Miracles. You know The Course in Miracles?
A lot of people are sort of in that mindset, you know, to be able to look at things. I mean, can I ask you?
Yes. You may ask.
There's a lot of judgment around hippies and what a hippie is. My kids think I'm a hippie because I've got big, bushy, curly hair. I light candles. Love incense.
Would you say
I'm a hippie?
Yeah, yeah, because you love everybody. Yeah.
Okay, then.
That's what hippies do. They love everybody.
My hippies.
But apparently that is not allowed anymore. And, it's something to be stigmatized, you know, loving people. But anyway, it's just like Rome. Do you remember Rome? Do you remember Nazi Germany? Yeah, it's just like that.
I can't even imagine that. Oh my goodness.
Oh, those were the days. So anyway, we should take a break. And I was thinking, many years ago, I got this album called The Thousand Names of the Divine Mother.
Oh, yeah, I got that. I love it. I always play it, actually. Craig Press.
So... I'm just going to play the first track, which is The Thousand Names of the Divine Mother Part 1, which has presumably got 500 names.
Do you know what? I play that at the beginning of every ceremony that I give.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I so tuned in.
Listen, honey. it's been a few years since we've talked and some things have come together.
So funny. I love that.
Okay. So here we are. How'd you pronounce it?
I can't say.
I'm going to say Arayuna. Aruna. Anyway, Thousand Names of the Divine Mother.
Okay, beautiful.
And there we're back. Yeah. I say this with a slight trepidation because I'm doing things completely differently to how I normally do. And I'm not sure, I'm sure I've still got you on the line here, Rita. Yes,
it says it. Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. So, So there was, A Thousand Names of the Divine Mother. Cool stuff, huh?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes. So, where were we? This is the music you use in your talks. How bizarrely tuned in? In your retreats, yes.
These very sacred ceremonial journeys with people. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm saying I love to do these very sacred shamanic, I call them Dharmakaya retreats, meaning primordial wisdom. And that basically when we can penetrate to go to the center of ourselves, then we can access the center of all things and the wisdom arises and we're not looking outside of ourselves. We're not putting somebody else up as a guru. But at the same time, we have the humility to understand that we don't know and that great mystery is unfolding in every way all the time. It's a very beautiful place. That's all I can say.
And that's the state, really, of the, in a kind of, the general state that we want all humanity to get to.
Yeah, that's right.
So, no easy job, huh?
No.
no pressure.
That's, you know, that's the gift, isn't it, of the Bodhisattva vow.
Yeah, where did that small print go? Why didn't anybody tell me down there, you know, you just have to suffer for generation after generation, that samsara stuff.
Or not, because that's the point. Once we liberate, once we get off the emotional treadmill, stop taking it personally and develop the love, the wisdom and the compassion to put ourselves into another person's shoes and walk with that ultimate place of forgiveness, and stop being in the drama of the story, then there is no more suffering because we go beyond the duality. Actually, having said that, my personal suffering is, even though I hold that place of non-duality, I still see that the ignorant choices that I made before having an awakening has left harm, has imbued harm to, for instance, I have 4 children that have no fathers in their lives, you know, like, and that's hard because they don't feel the imprint of that wholeness from having the masculine to really strongly hold them. It's not easy. And we've come from such a crazy overlap of an age, like overlapping the Piscean age with the Aquarian age. And we're born, you and I are born in that generation in the 60s, which was a lot. You know, where as we grew up, there was a lot of sexual promiscuity, giving birth, which was healthy, as healthy, but on another level, we weren't in right relationship, and people had children willy-nilly in any which way, and it's been very difficult for people to understand that tribal kind of living where there's families overlapping, like, you know, Angela, Amber.
Yeah, both of us have these kind of extended, yeah, kind of almost a sprawling metropolis of a family.
Exactly.
With multiple relationships and children and,
yeah,
and eventually, if we were living in the same community, eventually our families would overlap and we would become what they call a clan.
Yeah, we're tribes. Yeah, clans. I agree. And there's something very beautiful with that. Only when there's an implicit maturity between couples, between the man and the woman, that can let each other go when we can see that we can't spiritually grow further and then not put each other down. I was with this woman yesterday who's actually got not very long to live. She's got tumours all over her body and her children just don't have a good relationship with their father. And, you know, they're young and it's just so difficult because some people just, like this lady, just can't get past the place where she's angry with her ex and feels disappointed and let down. And all of that negativity's gone into the children and she's about to go and there's just a mess. It's just a mess. And, you know, we have to, when do we wake up that we really, really can hold somebody that we've actually called in to have a child with in the best possible light to not actually inflict our children with all these negative impressions? And where's the balance if that person has been really harmful to the child? It's a whole thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And, you know, they say that our children take on our stuff at the point where we've managed to get to, you know, and like we're saying, you know, in the 60s, we really weren't aware of the utter depth and darkness of our, I was going to say necrotities, neuroses, which, you know, we're now starting to see is rooted in paedophilia and the darkest depths of Satanism.
Yes, it is Satanism. Do you know, a few years ago, Jeremy,
I wouldn't have really wanted to believe that that still exists now. But I've just, you know, I've got two examples of women that have come to my retreats in the last year and a half, and they have three women actually, who've fully been in satanic cults as children and seen the beyond of babies being eaten and killed, all of it. And I once watched this video actually on YouTube of a Dutch woman crying her eyes out as she spoke, because she had not long been able to get away from this cult that she'd been in since being a child, where her own parents were, I don't even want to go into it. I don't think your listeners couldn't probably stomach what I was going to say in the stories, but they are.
Well, we're pretty hardcore here, but we know the score. We know the score.
Yeah, it's pretty dark what's going on still these days. But the good thing is it is coming to light. And the big thing is that we have to, as spiritual warriors, be able to look into the face of darkness unflinchingly without getting caught into the depression, because that's where it comes to, with the brow center being open, to somehow witness the evolution, the good, the true and the beautiful, and hold steady, bringing light, even when that dark is really dark, rather than running away or pretending it doesn't exist. Because one of the traps, isn't it, with people spiritually awakening, is that then they think that there is no darkness.
Yes, it, well, this is incredible.
That's it. And there is, I'm grateful to say, I do feel in myself very beyond the duality of light and dark, but certainly can see the both. But then there's a place that's beyond it all, which is emptiness, and emptiness brings spaciousness and liquid bliss and a cosmic fire.
Liquid bliss, I like that. Let me just say that in the chat room, Z Jenny says, I have had such a synchronistic day, it's freaking me out. I'm a survivor of ritual abuse and came out on Facebook explicitly for the first time right before this show.
Wow.
Bless you, Jenny.
Jenny, I'm going to ask Jeremy to give you my personal email, because I have a women's retreat at the end of November near London in a very stunning location. And I hold space for women, and we go on this 2.5 day journey to really give space for what needs healing for women that have been abused, where we're in a sisterhood to really sing our prayers into the earth, unify our voices, and to journey into the womb to be able to clear everything that was not love and light and consciousness that came into the body. So if you're interested in that, perhaps having a private Skype with me so I can share and tell you more, I'd really love to invite you to come to this. It may be very helpful to you.
Okay, I'll connect with her and I'll pass you together. Thank you so much. Now, I mean, that again, very brave indeed to even express that. And that's what I want to say, Rita. This group in Wolf Spirit Radio chat room and the listenership, which is a larger, more silent thing. There are layers, because there's another layer of listeners who have been around so long that they've become hosts and producers, and you know, it's a very organic, growing thing, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, bless her heart. She's saying she's weeping in happiness. Thank you, JP. Oh, thank you, Rita. More weeping, song color. We'd love to hear about that. But I'm in the USA. She's in the USA. But anyway.
What part of the USA? Ask Jenny where she is.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, there's about 2 minute delay between what they hear and what we say. So we'll connect with that. So anyway.
It would be very nice for her to know that I'm going to be in LA. She can meet me. I'm going to be there from the 23rd of October to the 9th of November.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? In the...
Yeah.
Is this the Ophiuchus moment, is it? Is that...
The what?
The Ophiuchus? Well, this new star sign they're trying to squeeze in.
Don't know anything about it, to be honest.
Don't you? You're like, yeah. God, I don't know.
I'm not up on it.
I can't even pronounce it right. Ophiuchus? Ophiuchus?
I don't know. There's no point in asking me. I have no idea right now.
So, meanwhile, so, yeah, we've got, and the webinars, right? So you've got the webinars in there, is it like 33 quid for the, for each one over
for
a period?
For each month. Yeah. Each month, it's seven months. So it's like, I don't know, 300 quid or something for the course or £200. It's very special, but you do need to be in a relationship to do this. I am going to start one for single people in December, which is also a shamanic journey through your body, through your own body, in the privacy of your own home. Because that's what this is all about, the webinars. It's like, how many men want to go to a tantra course? How many people could even afford to go to one? And this isn't like mundane left-hand path tantra that's focused on sex. This is white tantra that's focused on sacred union within yourself that results in exquisite lovemaking. It's a big difference. Are you there? Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you are?
I was here.
Yeah,
sorry, I just at that moment, I had to answer the boiling kettle, which in my house will not let go because it's on a wooden stove that is burning, burning oak and elm and pine at the moment.
That's
so meanwhile, so, you got this course and, what else is going on?
I mean, that's basically, look, let me tell you this.
Tell me.
Two retreats a month all over the world, different places. I am so graced. I have an incredible life in that way, taking the prayers in my own heart and teaching about ageless wisdom and working shamanically with sacred plants and going to different places around the world to help people come home to who they are. And I don't consider myself as some master teacher, but I work with master plants to give people a place as a, because basically as I see, look, I'm a mum and therefore I love all humans as my own children in that way of wanting to hold space in a nurturing, loving and unconditional way with no judgment. So that people can feel safe to expand consciousness and dare to look at their own shadows or what wasn't love and light that have infiltrated them so that they can clear the conditioned imprints and come home to who they really are to deepen into authenticity. That's my work.
There you go. Not much to ask, is it? So I'm just gobsmacked, you know, because as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, so while she was doing this, I was doing this, while she was doing this, I was doing this, and we have all these different things, and, you know, obviously, you know, I'm your technical bard, and I've been into all these things, but eventually everything comes to creating radio programs and TV programs. You know,
that's for myself, everything
that I've learned in this time, in my life has brought me to making radio shows and TV shows.
Exactly.
And I always wondered what they would be about. And, it's about my amazing friends and what I've learned from them.
Oh, that's so beautiful. In, a system that I think possibly designed by Roger Hamilton, that would mean that you're a star. And because you like to shine your light for other people to shine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that so nice? What a real star is.
Yeah. Actually one of our hosts here, Audrey, he recommends
you're
a meditation.
A star. Sorry, you're holding a star in the photograph I'm looking at.
Exactly,
you.
Exactly. And with the do not fear mudra behind it.
sorry, what were you saying about one of our hosts,
Audrey, he recommends a very simple meditation, which is to grow a star in your heart.
Oh, I love that.
It's just so simple, and that's how he stays young.
Well, I think I'll continue that. Yes, but it's true. It's beautiful.
A good one. Yeah, it's always good to want, because we have that. I mean, we've all been taught how to do that. And just, we forget. And the thing that I've been doing is doing this breath, which is breathing in through your nose and out through the mouth.
Oh, I do that a lot. And I always recommend it as well, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very, very good. There we go. So,
Actually, when my father was leaving his body, he got the nurses to call me at 4 o'clock in the morning because he was like almost having a panic attack. His breath was, you know, out of control, and his blood pressure was really raised, and yeah, basically he was preparing to die. He had about 3 days left. And I went and I was holding him and just like really getting him to connect with his crown chakra, his brow and his breath and his heart. And I was getting him to do that breath, to breathe in deeply through the nose, hold that breath for a few moments and then out gently through the mouth. And they just watched, you know, like he's just all linked up to the monitors, and they watched his blood pressure come down to normal.
And
they said, how did you do that? And I just said, it's just very simple. It's just basic to breathe and just let go. You know, breathe in prana, breathe in life, breathe in the light of your ancestors, hold that breath, allow it to alchemicalize and transform anything negative, then to release that negativity and everything that you don't need anymore out. So I love that you've said that about that breath, because it is actually essential to our being able to regulate, transform, and at the time when we're either giving birth or passing over, going through that gateway, it's a really important thing to remember.
So even at the point of death, this is something that I've been using to help people reconnect with their pre-traumatized version. You know, these soul fragments that they we've been talking about, and I've been helping them using their breath to reconnect with the child beforehand. It's very,
so
very, very quick.
It's quick. You know, have you heard of Sondra Ray, Liberation Breathing? She was the one who really, she's in her 70s now. She looks amazing, by the way. She looks, you know, 50.
I think she's come to Fintorn quite a lot. Fintorn lady, yeah.
She is an amazing woman. I'd love her to speak on your show. Mm. I've learned a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a lot of amazing breath work. And I'm very inspired by her, I must say, because she works with breath and the power of affirmation in the moment. You know, like, say, for instance, now, and you may well know this, being living up in Fintorn, all the people that say, oh, no, I can't possibly afford that. I'm broke.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Poverty
consciousness, we call that.
Poverty consciousness.
Yes, we kick these people into the dirt, you know, just poverty consciousness, no, we're joking.
No, you're joking. But anyway, the point is that is a mantra to say, oh, I can't afford it, I'm broke. And therefore, then we create that, we recreate it, we keep recreating it. And then, so that's where breath and affirmation to say, I give thanks, I celebrate the abundance that I am, I celebrate it and feel it in your body. And therefore, then you just become extraordinarily abundant. And I speak from experience with that, because I used to always think I'm broke and always say it. And then until I actually just changed my wording, and the more I did it, the more abundant I manifested, because, you know, everything comes from within.
Exactly. And if only we'd have learned that 20 years ago, but we had 20 years ago, we still had no idea of the amount of stuff that we actually had to work with. And if we'd have known that then, you know, if we could have seen ourselves as the Master sees us, would have seen us that day, those days.
Yeah.
You know, like we see people and we think, oh, well, you got a lot of work to do. Just imagine how he would have been looking at us. Oh my God, you got a lot of work to do.
It's true. It's so true. Yeah.
And isn't this interesting? This is another cycle, you know,
the awakening level. That's why I love working again with the medicine plants, because
Oh my God, talk about fast track. It's mind blowing to me. Absolutely mind blowing. I just see people two times, three times, then they know how to sit up, meditate. They've come home to the center. They've cleared their anxiety. They get exactly what they, you know, it's just amazing. I just see so much transformation in that way. Doesn't mean that, you know, it's like everyone still has their work to do, but you get a kind of extra wind of support, recalibration.
I think the main issue that humans suffer from is hopelessness.
Yeah.
It's easy to induce in a child because it can be so interminably, grindingly slow for anything to happen that is good. You know, then people give up hope. Children will give up hope, you know, and it just feels like this is going to be like for this forever. And
really?
Just we hang on to that.
It's so hard to, I think you're probably right, but I just, like,
but
you know,
what I'm saying is,
billionaire or you think of like the light in the children's eyes in some of the poorest countries and, there's spirit, you know, it just depends. I mean, hopelessness really comes when there's such intense abuse.
Yeah.
One woman who was in my retreat last year in January in Sri Lanka, she had really dark black bags under her eyes. She was 24 years old and we did the ceremony on the first night and the next day I could feel her process and I said to her, I'd really like in the sharing circle this afternoon to talk about what happened in your childhood, if you wouldn't mind. So then she said, well, basically, I've been sexually abused by my father from the age of 6 to 16. And she had this really shadow look in her eyes and how he would make her write like a sign saying I'm an idiot and I'm a dunce that was next to her bed. And I said, where was your mother in all this? And she said she was there, but I don't blame her. She was so scared of him. And the most extraordinary thing in this is that she was still living at home with him, age 24, with her mother and her father, having forgiven them. And I'm just saying that because she had hope. She was in her spiritual awakening, managed to come to the retreat that I was on. And her life's transforming massively. I think that the spirit of humanity is so profoundly, you know, it's amazing what we have been through in the dark and what can happen to get us out of that. You know, like, I really believe, one thing I really believe in JP, which I ask people, please don't throw out the baby with the bathwater because of the atrocious indoctrination and density of truths within religions. Please don't throw out the power of prayer. You know, asking the Creator Spirit, however we believe that force of goodness to be, for what you need to have harmony in your life, for what you need to have flow, for what you need to feel safe. It's really important that we ask the solar guides, the angels, and the Creator to really hold our hand, because that's the meeting point halfway, and then all the blessings just come. It's really important that we find our innermost prayer.
Prayer. And meditation and the whole God flow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the funny thing is, you know, I've been getting to this whole thing about, feelings, right? Because to get to these, broken fragments, that there's a residual feeling that has been there all the time and you haven't recognized it. And that's the main thing is it's been like the wallpaper of your life. And then when you can bring somebody's attention to you, that you can take it back and work with it using the breath and reconnecting it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that really needs to happen to everybody on a grand scale. Now, it's really easy to shock everybody into mind control them, like 9/11 or Princess Diana or something like that. These enormous operations, which are, you know, they are satanic rituals that have been externalized, as as we've been talking about. We've been grandstanding it and watching, and, you know, we can see all these things that are going on and all these Super Bowl rituals and how the louche is harvested and all of this stuff. But what, you know, I'm really after the whole, the healing of the whole thing, which is to reconnect that separative, that separation, which is kind of, you're working with the creme de la creme here. The groups that you'll be working with over the next few months will be people who have managed to get most of their stuff out of the way. And they've just got a little bit, just a few little bits that you can lever up with a little screwdriver and or a palette knife. And they'll kind of squeak through and everything. And, you know, the right alchemy will happen. You know, you've got to that point of the purity. You need to have this group to work that as a precedent, so that creates the portal that everybody can then move through. We are the portals. Who'd have thought? You know, it's like, oh, I wonder where the portals are going to appear. Oh crap, it's us.
Well, they say that, don't they? We're the ones that we've been waiting for, and therefore we have to live and be the change that we want to see in every way on Walking Our Talk.
Yeah.
I hope you say know where your source of clean water is, you know, all of it. Mm. And I love that. I love that because I think we're all really trying to step up.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, talking of clean water, I bought an osmotic filter 2 days ago.
I think we've got one. I've just moved into this magnificent house after being in a shoebox of a council house for five years.
Ah.
And I'm so great. I mean, this is just like a whole other ball game an office and a utility room, all of it. And it's got filtered water coming through the tap that tastes delicious. I'm celebrating.
Is it coming from a Glastonbury spring?
I don't think it is, but I think it might be this reversed osmosis.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I found they're not that expensive now. They're about half the price that they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So, not bad. So well done on the new house. And do you have that gorgeous pom-pom of a dog?
Oh my God. You mean my beautiful Samoyed Whisper?
Whisper. Yeah. Do you still have her?
I love her. We do still have her.
She's a pom-pom.
I just love her.
Do you know what I mean, a pom-pom?
She's like,
she's beautiful. She's just that hair. And
I know.
It's like a dandelion. Like a dandelion flower.
Yeah, you know? She's got that wispiness, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She's exquisite. Yeah, I'm blessed. Yeah.
Excellent. And she's very well behaved. She's not like a crazy husky.
Yappy.
Like,
she's not yappy at all, is she?
No.
She's from Siberia, and I think of her as a snowdrop from Shambhala that's the embodiment of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without any exaggeration, that's what her essence is.
Gorgeous. By the way, have you read Anastasia?
I have. Oh my God. Uh-huh. I haven't read all of them.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I have. And I really got this amazing download because I was quite naughty when I was younger. And on my 21st
birthday. Rita, you haven't got a checkered past, have you, my love?
Anyway, on my 21st birthday, a cedar tree blew down in a storm outside my bedroom window, a 400-year-old cedar tree. And I thought it was because my ancestors, being that I'm Lebanese and it was a cedar of the Lebanon, I thought that my ancestors were angry with me until I read Anastasia. And then I realized that actually that tree gave me its cosmic charge of energy on my 21st birthday as my birthday present. Could you imagine that?
Wow.
So, like 40 foot away from my bedroom window, in a very crazy situation that I was in up in Yorkshire, and at this whole big, huge cedar tree completely blows over on my 21st birthday itself.
That's really cool.
I know.
Yeah, that's like being born in a thunderstorm, you know.
Yeah,
being the seventh son of a seventh son, being born in a thunderstorm. Anyway.
Isn't it funny how we can think of something really negative as being bad, and then actually it was the greatest blessing?
Well, I mean, you know me. I had this terrible motorcycle accident, or so it appears, but that was the thing that pushed me on this path, and I wouldn't be here otherwise. And I wouldn't have... I wouldn't have understood why I would be in that position either and get all this stuff otherwise.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have met Ted Fricker, whose wife said, oh, you can do this, you know, this spiritual healing thing. And I was like, yeah, right. Back in those days.
There you are.
And here we are.
Daka, Daka. I always think of you as a male Dakini, a Daka. Yeah. Oh, Jeremy, sweet. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. I really realise how much I love live radio. It's just so, I don't know, it just draws out of me some very strong. By the way, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning at the dawn, like before the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a really busy day. And when you called, I'd forgotten all about the radio show.
I knew you had. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just thinking I'm going to go to bed, having cooked this huge meal for my family, my mother, my kids came over. And I was just like, oh, my God. And then I just thought, okay, cup of tea and some of my lovely apple and rhubarb crumble that I made. And
have Rita's cakes. Rita's cakes. Don't talk about Rita's cakes. Oh, talk about Rita's cakes. Tell the people how smooth and yummy all are with all natural, wholesome, organic ingredients that won't.
Now these days, but my cakes actually, what Jeremy JP is talking about is back in 1998, as a single parent with one little one on the breast, I had no money and had gone on this spiritual sabbatical and realized I can't even afford to buy my kids shoes. And I was doing a cleaning job, having been an astrologer charging £100 an hour and a well-known fashion designer and hosting parties for people like Prince in my very flashy London life prior to my awakening. And then I had a spiritual teacher that suggested I became a cleaner to get me really grounded.
Oh, I remember the ignominy of it all. Ignominy. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'm so grateful for that moment. But anyway, it resulted in me really, like, for instance, knowing how much it cost to make this Belgian chocolate Sacha torte with ground almond, this type of cake, and not even being able to make that often because I couldn't afford it. Anyway, went one day, treated myself to this cake in Glastonbury and coffee whilst I was waiting for my son to finish nursery. And it tasted like poo. It was like not very, well, no, it didn't taste good.
The worst tasting piece of cake.
Yeah, it was really dry, not, anyway. So I said, I had this idea, look, this cake that I was, knew how to make, I'd only made it twice. If I made it would cost me £7 and I could sell it to them for £14. They could sell it 14 slices at £2.50. They'll make good money. So I offered that to them and they loved it. And then they, with very, very quickly, I was making them something like 25 cakes a week. And that then became 100 cakes a week, delivering cakes to everywhere locally. And eventually to 500 cakes a week and selling on QVC. I pioneered food shopping on QVC and employed loads of people and made these cakes as the embodiment of love, like prasadam. And they were all works of art. And it was a profound experience in understanding alchemy. Mix some things together and you get put loads of love in and then you get something exquisite. The only problem was I got caught in Cake World and they were with sugar. And the first time I drank ayahuasca, it said, your dharma, your spiritual purpose, let me rest assured, is not giving people sugar.
Oh, bless your heart. Feeding the what I call, I have a name for this thing. It's called the nung. This is the parasitic, candida body, right?
Yeah.
I've been working on it and I call it the nung because one day I had a journey into it. I spoke to it, you know, and I said, what do you want? And he said, I'm lonely. I said, right. Okay. I'm hungry. Oh, I get it. You're lonely and you're hungry. So when I feel lonely and hungry, it's not me feeling lonely and hungry. It's you.
And brilliant, that's, Jeremy. That's so good.
I even made a website. It's called thenung.com. It's down at the moment because all my websites are down.
I love that.
And it has a cure. It's cure. No, you can't even hear it.
Well, I want to know, what's the cure? Because there's a lot of people out there with the nung problem. Tell me.
As chips. It's called borax. B-O-R-A-X. A dab a day of borax. I've been losing weight. You know me. Not Mr. Slim. And it's because it's not fat. It's not fat, it's more.
What's borax derived from again? Remind me, because I remember.
It's got boron in it. And boron is the, you know, they say there's this, our modern diet is missing these minerals.
Yeah. Right?
Boron is the missing mineral and it stops our bones from absorbing calcium, if we don't have it. So if we do have it, if you have borax in your diet, it means your bones start to get fed. And your body starts to alkalize because what's been happening, all the sugar, I'm afraid to say, Rita, we got another batch of karma to reverse over. Okay, might be a bit crunchy. All right. Might be a bit crunchy and a bit edgy. But basically the nung, right, creates an acid environment in your body when it consumes sugar because it makes the alcohol that makes the acetic acid, etc. And in order to alkalize it, your body takes calcium from, yes, you guessed it, the bones.
Your bones.
Yes, a plentiful supply of calcium. And then it deposits it in this stuff, which we think is fat, but it's actually colonies of mold. I know.
Wow.
And I call this the nung. All right. Because the nung, right? Let me introduce you to your nung. You're standing in front of the oven, as you have many times, and you know you just bake some bread. There's a nice loaf in the oven, right? Okay, you can smell it and it's got that lovely warm sweet smell, moist sweet smell, and you open the oven and you take it out and you put it on the cooling rack and you know there's one thing.
And you can't wait to put some butter on it.
That's right. And then when you put that butter on, the thing that you want to do is you want to go nung 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 with the bread. Right? Because that's the feeling. That's the nung. It wants to do that. Not you.
Okay.
It wants that. That's your nung. Welcome to your nung because it's just made your mouth water.
Well, no, it hasn't made mine water because I've just had my dinner. But I'm excited to share this with a few friends of mine.
Okay.
I'm watching around this and I definitely want to take some borax. So
yeah.
What form do you, where do you get it?
Right, you can get it on the internet. It's very cheap. It's like, you know, like £7 a kilo.
Okay.
You can get it in a shop. In America, the brand name is 20 Mule Team. It's a mineral, it's mine.
And you just take a dab of it a day, do you?
You just put a dab of this on your tongue.
Yeah.
And, drink your tea with it, because it tastes like fish. It tastes horrible. It tastes like, you know, bad fish, you know, yeah. But anyway, essentially it alkalizes your body. And it reduces that sugar craving.
Oh, fantastic. I love that.
It's like, suddenly you gain control over your arms and hands because instead of reaching for shit, you just move straight on. It's quite amazing. It's a whole different concept and it's just amazing how this thing overlays your nervous system.
Fabulous. Okay. Yeah. I'm really interested in it. Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Okay. And so I can give you an eBay address as well for supplies. I buy it by the kilo and it's the cheapest chips and
somebody
1 kilo.
Just said, look in the laundry aisle at the supermarket.
Exactly.
I kept thinking it was to do with Laundry.
Yes, yes, it's that stuff. You can actually use it to put in your washing and make your soap work better as well. It's basically an alkaline, you see. Anything alkaline dissolves fat.
Yeah.
So,
okay, that's fabulous to know.
So.
Right, on that note, I probably ought to go and make some apple cider vinegar, hot water, after eating late and having apple crumble.
Apple crumble, apple cider vinegar.
Apples
so
from my garden and the rhubarb.
Oh my gosh, rhubarbs. Yes. Yes, cakes and pies. See, I've been off the old wheat for a couple of years.
Good for you.
I've eschewed bagels. Can you think? Me? No more bagels. I haven't eaten a bagel for years. It's almost like tantra, you know. But I'm feeling a whole lot better without it, you know, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still relatively portly, but I'm a lot more present here. There's a lot more me in this body than there used to be. And that's all the better for everybody's concern. Excellent. So listen, I do monthly roundtables in this slot, in this time slot. Sometimes I have gentlemen and sometimes I have ladies and sometimes I have both. But I would, do you remember Shari Edwards?
No.
Acoustic healing. She did the thing in Street. I met her years ago when I was, down in.
Probably people recognize her.
Yeah.
Names.
Anyhow, she did the thing at Elaine's. You know, you remember Elaine at Four Winds, next door to Four Winds. Was it Elaine was on Four Winds?
Yeah.
Or the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did this sound therapy thing. That's Shari Edwards. Anyway, I have her on the thing. She has totally perfected the whole frequency and body and disease, and she's got the whole thing mapped out.
Beautiful.
The whole thing. So that's really good. So if you wish to, I would like to invite you on roundtables if you're interested.
Oh, thank you. That would be very interesting. I would love to. I definitely need to work out some dates in advance with you
because
I'm away a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, darling. Well, next time we speak, I'm going to be a grandma.
That's yay. Amazing. Well, that's really good. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to have a granddaughter.
I'm waiting for when I'm a grandfather. I think that I should have always been a grandfather, but I've had to wait through the whole thing, of having a son and waiting for them to have a, you know, before I can get to be the grandfather that I always should have been. You know, I was born. I always looked like a grandfather.
You're born old.
Yeah, I'm born old.
Oh, that's
cool. Vanessa
well,
in the chat
so
room.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Just really want to acknowledge your listeners, and I'm just glancing at what some of their comments, and just want to say big love to you guys. And you know, I'd love to send you the link a bit more about the webinar thing in case you're interested.
Just drop it in there.
Okay, I'll do that soon.
Yeah, we'll do that. And Rita has appeared, earlier on in, the Ever Beyond history. She's been on several shows in the past over the last six years. And we've been catching up on stuff as well. Rita, it's been a real buzz to be in your presence and to share this space with you.
Oh, bless you, darling. And same. I've really, really enjoyed it. And look forward to connecting more. I'm sorry it's been so long. Life is fast-paced these days, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? We can live several... I felt I've had several lifetimes in the last few years. Anyway, let's play out after the show with another 500 names of the Divine Mother.
Okay.
Which would take us up to 1,000. Thank you very much, everybody. It's been just delightful, as always. Thank you so much, Rita Reyes.
Bless you.
Rita, what's your website?
My website, ritahereyes.com. I'm just going to, hold on, let's...
Can you spell Reyes? Because people are going to...
It's R-I-T-A, and then Reyes is H-R-A-I-Z, and then .com. And I'm just going to put the actual thing in the thing. That's my, I don't know if it's worked. Okay, well, I'm going to try and send you the link. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Vanessa. Vanessa, you've sent the link through.
Yeah, there she is. You have left our cool JP a gobsmacked Jeremy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Anyway, big gobsmacked. Sweetheart. Thank you so much. Good night, Rita. Bless you all.
Bye. Bye.
Beyond.